I want to talk to you guys a little bit about change and the process of change. Just remind you all what the process of change looks like. I think it's so typical for all of us to want change to happen really fast, to not really stop and recognize when change actually is happening. And so all we're doing is focusing so much on the change that isn't happening that we don't really recognize and see and are able to celebrate the changes that are happening. So I want to just remind you guys a little bit about that. And then what I'm going to do, I know a lot of you guys find a lot of value when some of us share our own personal stories. So I thought it would be fun for Coach Betsy and myself to share just a little bit with you guys about what this process of change has looked like for us. Betsy has her own binge history. I've got my own binge history. Betsy and I, you all know that I Marco Polo with Corinne on a very regular basis. But you guys, I actually Marco Polo with Betsy a lot too. And here's why. Betsy and I always joke that I'm like just a little bit ahead of Betsy. There are so many ways that Betsy and I think a lot alike. I see myself in Betsy. And so there are ways that we can, you know, really connect on the topic of binge eating. Corinne and I pretty much connect on the topic of everything. But there really is something to be said for somebody who understands, who gets it. And I think that's one of the powerful things about this group that we have is that, we are all able to understand what it's like to eat very large volumes of food, to think, oh my gosh, why did I do that? To have this feeling like there's something wrong with us that we think that some people may not be able to understand. And the truth is some people can't understand it, right? And so what the amazing thing that you have here in No BS and in this Binge Better subgroup is that you are surrounded by people who get it. And you don't have to be afraid to talk about it. You don't have to be ashamed. We can talk about it in a way that you can help you understand it. And that, for me, has been the point of putting together Binge Better, doing these coaching calls, is to help you understand your binging. Because when we can understand something, then we can get authority to be able to change it. When we don't understand it, when we think we're broken, those are the things that help, that keep us stuck. They kind of keep us stuck in those patterns. So if you don't know, if you are listening to this call and you don't know that there is a Binge Better subgroup, we have a subgroup specifically for binge eaters. You can join us over in the Facebook group. You can find the link to the courses, to everything else is on the website under self-paced resources. It's called Binge Better. You will find all the courses, previous call recordings, the link to join the Facebook page. Everything is there on the website for you. Okay, so change. How does change happen? Change happens over time. There are phases of change. When we start changing, and I'm gonna very specifically use binging as an example. When you work on your binging does not go, for most people, binging does not go away overnight. It is a process of unwinding. So the way that we change is in the beginning, you probably will not be able to really access or start looking at things and start trying to understand things until after the fact, until the binge has already happened. That does not mean change isn't happening. Even if you binge, what you do after that binge starts the process of change. Are you doing your discovery worksheet? Are you trying to figure out what was really going on? What are you getting curious about it? Are you maybe having less time in shame? Are you able to come and talk about it sooner than you used to be able to do before? Are you not hiding for weeks or days or months at a time? Are you coming back and asking for help sooner? All of those things, even though they happen after the binge, that's still change. Then what happens is as you start to get curious and you start to notice your patterns and figure things out after the fact, then you can start to maybe start to see things during. You may still be binging, but you might actually be binging with awareness where, all right, I'm eating. I may still be thinking I can't stop, but I actually know what I'm thinking right now. I am actually a part of this experience as opposed to Before, when I used to binge, it was like a blackout experience. I wasn't even present. I wasn't even at the party. It was lights out, and I might, you know, come to later with all of the wrappers and the bags and the boxes and everything else. So if you're doing that, and you are, even if you are still binging, but you are aware of what's going on for you during the binge, that is change. That is progress. If you are binging and you are, maybe you're binging less, maybe your, what constitutes a binge for you now is different than what it was for you before, that's also progress. So change is kind of going to happen, like it starts happening afterwards. Then you can start accessing things during. Then you start to notice before, as you start to get familiar with your patterns and what happens, then you can start to see like, oh my gosh, I'm actually having an urge right now. You can see the urge before you've actually already responded to it. Then you can make the decision to press pause. A lot of times in the beginning, that ability to even make that decision to press pause isn't there. So part of change is that very first time you're like, you know what? I'm gonna press pause. I'm gonna wait for 5 minutes. That right there, that's change. That is changing new patterns. Then even if you eat again, even if you eat later. So it's all a process of a whole bunch of little things that end up changing over time. It's the 1% that Corinne is always talking about. It's no different with binging. I think sometimes with binging, if we're talking about eating very large quantities of food, it's natural for us to look at, okay, I binged or I didn't binge, and that's the only way I'm going to see this as success. I'm only going to see it as success if I didn't binge. And there's so much, if we listen to that thought and we believe that thought, there are so many other areas of success that we can look at and we can capture and really use to accelerate the other changes everywhere. So even if you're still binging, even if you're still binging, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you're not changing. It doesn't mean things aren't progressing. And what will happen is over time, as long as you don't quit, as long as you don't give up on yourself and you keep doing the work and you keep showing up for yourself, you will make these changes. And over time, you will absolutely experience change. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to bring... I'm going to bring Betsy on. We are going to have Betsy share with us a little bit about her changes, what she's noticed. And then I am going to share some of the same of my own. And then we're going to open this up for coaching. Anything on the topic of binging or overeating will be good to go. Hello, Betsy. Hello. How are you?
Good.
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 This good, is good. So-
Just so excited to be here on camera. I'm usually behind the scenes to
that's right.
On Monday nights here at the Binge Better Call. So
yeah.
But I tell you, I was listening to what you were saying, and I really think, let me pull up the chat just so I can kind of keep an eye on everybody. Here we go. I think it would be an amazing exercise for everyone to do this, what I did this afternoon. I just took a blank sheet of paper just to kind of prep for the call, and I just wrote up, how has my binging changed over the years? Because it's been probably, and I even had to kind of think back about how long it's been that I, because I know we're different in that you've been binging, or you have a longer history of binging than I do. And that I just started really consistently doing it, 4 or 5 years ago. And I just was like, I made this big list about how my binging has changed in that time. And it was things that I had forgotten about, like just reminding myself of all of the progress I made, just like you were talking about, all the 1% level ups and all of that, that have just added up over time into where I am now.
So tell us what those changes are.
Yeah. So really the biggest one is really my relationship with binging, like how I think about myself as someone who binges sometimes, because when I first started, I thought it was this terrible, horrible thing about me that I needed to stop immediately, that I needed to, that I was just damaging my body and I was assaulting myself and just this very dramatic story about what I was doing. And over time, I heard Corinne talk about it one day. I mean, and I'm sure she had talked about it before and she's talked about it since, but I was just really open to hearing it one day. And I heard her say that binging is just my brain's way of trying to love me and trying to take care of me. And when it just something, you know, just something flipped. Well, I say something flipped, but it probably took a while.
I disagree. And here's the thing. Here's what I think is so important for all, like everybody pay attention. Betsy like looks back and she's like, wow, like look at all of these changes. But she thinks it was one sentence that she heard from Corinne that flipped the switch. And it's not. And I can tell you for a fact that that wasn't the case for Betsy because I've been on Betsy's journey with her, but it's very natural for us to think that like, oh, wow. Like, and this is it's such a powerful example. I'm really glad you said it that way because we all do this. This is the power of 1%. You can't see 1% over time, but you look back and all of a sudden, and you're like, what? Like, oh my gosh, where I am now is so different than where I am before. But it's hard to quantify the little 1% because you do them over time. You do them consistently. You keep doing them. And then all of a sudden where you are now is just not where you were before. Yeah. And so it's not one thing. It's not one sentence. It's not one, which is on the one hand, we are all looking for that one magic sentence, that one magic pill, like, okay, I just need this one thing and then I'll never binge again. Right. It's like that is kind of, I think, especially for bingers who have this idea, and Betsy and I have both shared in the thinking, in the past thinking of I'm broken, I need to be fixed. And when you are approaching it from this, I'm broken, I need to be fixed, I need the pill, I need the light switch, I need this to happen now. That's where that type of energy, I will tell you all right now, that type of energy will not unwind your binges. It just won't. And that doesn't mean it's easy, but it's where our brains want to go. It makes sense that our brains think we're broken. This is terrible. This has to stop. I'm hurting my body. I'm going to gain so much weight. All the things we think, we're going to keep thinking those things. And at the same time, we can also think about the ways that we can love ourselves through it, that we can nurture ourselves, that we can realize every single one of us who binges, just like Betsy is saying, there is a part of us that has a need to binge. And until we can figure out what that need really is, where that we can kind of understand like how that need developed, what other need might be there, bring that need in to take care of ourselves in that way. We all started to binge to take care of a need. Now, for some people, it might have been a true, very physical need of food. If you were on a very restrictive diet, you were really limiting what you were eating. Sometimes that need is literally food. Your brain is never going to override its innate need to just survive, right? But it might be other needs if for those of us who maybe started binging earlier to try to meet emotional needs, then it's like, if we can, instead of the binge being this terrible, awful thing, it's like, what is this really? If I'm not assaulting myself, if I'm not punishing myself, if I'm not proving how out of control and terrible and disgusting I am, what else could be true? What other need? If I'm really trying to take care of myself, it may come out sideways and it may come out funny, but what need might be there? And I think that's what we have done so beautifully in this course and within this subgroup is really start asking the questions, what else is going on? What else is the need? And when you can focus on that rather than this, I'm broken, I'm terrible, I'll never be fixed, things change.
Yes. Yes. And so to kind of revise that a little bit, like I heard Corinne say that, and then I just started over time, you know, every once in a while, I would be like, could that be true? Could that really be true that it's not this terrible thing about me, that it is my brain's way of taking care of me. And I just kind of kept opening myself up to that just gradually and slowly. And I just started kind of looking for evidence of that and just thinking maybe that could be true. And over time, it started to become true. And it started to open me up to, like I said, okay, so if it's not this terrible thing about me and it's not something that I need to stop, you know, why am I doing it, right? Like, what am I needing? What is underneath that? Since I've kind of dropped this one layer of judgment, what am I really needing? And what you know is that most of the time, it's because I need to feel something. I need to feel some sort of feeling that I am trying to push down. Y'all know the beach ball metaphor where I'm just pushing it down and it's gonna come up at some point, but I'm trying to push down some sort of feeling. And so when I got curious about that, I started to just, again, over time, 1% level ups of just like, okay, well, if I am trying to feel something or if I am needing to feel something right now, what could that be, right? What do I need to feel right now? And so that has definitely been a way that, I mean, and I continue, I mean, you know, because I still get urges, we still get urges, right? And so I also have a different relationship with my urges where I'm seeing them now as, oh, okay, it's, you know, it's my brain trying to kind of just get my attention and tell me something and let me see what I can find out and let me see what I can get curious about. So, another thing that that has really changed over time is when I do get an urge and I get an urge to binge, again, this is not every single time, but a lot more often now, I am able to take a little pause right before I decide whether or not I'm gonna eat or not. And in that pause, I've started having this conversation of, I've started taking myself to my future self. And I talk a lot about this in my coaching and stuff, where it's okay, Betsy, like we can eat if we want to, but let's just think about what about in an hour? Like, what's it going to be like in an hour when all the food is gone and you've eaten all of it? And, you know, for so long, my brain didn't want to go there. I mean, I would have maybe asked that question first and like, it was like, nope, we're not going to think about that right now. We've already decided we're eating and I would eat. But over time, I started just giving myself a minute or two in between these decisions and in between the urge and the decision. And like, let's just think a little bit about like how it's going to be in an hour or two. And when I'm like physically uncomfortable, I still have all the thoughts and feelings that I had before. And then now, you know, I'm not going to eat dinner with my husband because, you know, physically miserable, right? And I don't have that experience that, you know, to look forward to. And so again, just over time, I would ask myself those questions and I would start to answer them. But at first I didn't, because my brain didn't want to go there. But then gradually I started to answer that question and I started to realize that like, there's no upside to this. It never ends the way that I think it's going to end. It's never this, because my brain would say, maybe this time we'll feel better after we eat. Maybe, like, yeah, I know we haven't before in the past, but maybe this time, if we choose the right food, if we eat the right amount of food, if we, you know, it just, maybe this time will be different. And I kind of just started to gradually give up on that, you know, give up on that ghost and just like, no, I don't think that it really does. I don't think it really does help. And I think that there's something different than I can do in this moment.
Well, and I think also for you, it's been the conversation with yourself, right? Like it's become much more gentle, like even in response to the urge, it's like, okay, yes. Well, we can eat. Mm-hmm. And let's just go ahead and think about, let's take ourselves to the future. Yeah. So we can still come back and decide to eat. You know, it's not the, no, we're not doing that. You know, it's not punishing. It's not, you know, this isn't about like eating is bad or whatever. It's like, okay, well, let's just consider, you know, and taking yourself to that place and really being that gentle conversation that also right. brings in the part of you that is going to be there when all the food is over. And so
The tone of the conversation, like the gentleness, the calmness, the compassion that I the way that I talk to myself now is definitely changed over right. time. It's not right. this resistance, like fighting against myself. It's this kind of like, let's meet here in the middle and let's not, you know, let's like, I mean, because it's really important for me to say like, okay, we can eat, right? Exactly. I'm not just yeah. shutting it down. We can eat, but let's just do this. Just right before we just decide, let's just stay, you know, hang out here for a little while and really think about whether or not we want to do this. And it's this very calm, and that has come with a lot of practice.
So tell me also about, I think one area that we've both changed a lot is in, the foods we allow on a regular basis. So tell me a little bit about that journey for you.
Yes. So, really I, you know, lost my weight, and like for several years after I maintaining my weight, I was pretty much didn't eat very much sugar and flour at all. That was just the way that I decided to eat then. But a few years ago, you know, and it was working for me, but then I decided that I wanted to see if, I could incorporate some of those foods back into my regular diet. And see that if I could maintain my weight, that way. And because I was really, I just kind of found myself, wanting some of those foods and just kind of opening myself up to the possibility that like, maybe I could maintain my weight, eating some of those foods. And I said, and I just immediately, I became the scientist, but I was scared to death at the same time. I was scared to death that I was going to gain some of my weight back. But I just decided to do some experiments and see if, because I really knew that the way that I really wanted to eat long term for the rest of my life was to allow any foods and not to limit anything, not to, in terms of, you know, the types of food that I was eating. And so I just went into experimentation mode. And again, I went in with a little bit of fear, but I decided that it was worth it. It was worth it for me to feel scared and for me to maybe gain a little bit of weight back in the process to really figure out how I wanted to eat. And so I started incorporating back in dessert and, you know, a hamburger bun with my hamburger and, you know, just any foods that, you know, pasta, different things like that. And, you know, it's still definitely a work in progress. But what I've proven to myself is that I can maintain my weight eating these foods that I love. And that's one of the goals that I write down every day in my planners, that one of my big goals is to maintain my weight loss eating foods I love. And that is foods from every category out there. And so, yeah, because what I eventually learned was that it wasn't about not eating sugar and flour that led me to lose weight or that led me to maintain my weight. It was me not overeating mm-hmm. most of the time. I mean, right. and that was the truth. I didn't believe it at first, and I had to get into action proving it true, but I did. And I did it when I was a little bit scared, and I'm proud of that.
I think for me, what's been super interesting is I was for years, I was no sugar. I was no flour. I was no snacking. Mm-hmm. And I was also gluten-free and yeah. dairy-free. Yeah. So I did not have gluten, dairy, sugar, flour, or snacks, essentially. And what I discovered was that, of course, I say that I didn't eat any of these things. However, let's be clear, I was still binging.
Yes.
I was binging on things that had gluten and flour and sugar.
When I was making notes today, I was like, oh my gosh, I was like binging on the stuff that I was not giving myself permission to have. I mean,
exactly.
That's right. How this works, y'all. Like, I mean, exactly. That's not a coincidence. It was exactly. like, it was because I was feeling so, you know, so restricted, right? Because of what I was thinking. And so it's like, okay, what if I just give myself permission to have these things?
Well, and I think what happens, at least for me, what has happened is that I used to, when I would binge on these foods that I was not allowing myself to eat on a regular basis, then there, it was very natural to have the thoughts, well, I have to just eat it all now. Like I might as well just finish it, because there was always, whether it was spoken or not, there was always this understanding in my brain, we're not going to get these again. It may be a while before we get these again. Like this is not, you know, this is like special food or, you know, forbidden food or whatever. So there really was that, you know, kind of almost Last Supper mentality of, you know, this resource is scarce. We better get it in now while we still can. And so now that for me, all foods are available to me. I mean, all of them, I still have Halloween candy in the pantry. And what happens is that now this doesn't happen overnight either. There is no magic switch of bringing foods in. Now there is a process and there is absolutely a way that you can do it. And we can certainly talk about that. But when your brain gets to realize you can have these things anytime, and the reason we want these foods is some of these forbidden foods, they taste good. They do. Yes, some of them are absolutely engineered to be hyper palatable. I mean, it's not like a surprise that they are very tasty foods. However, every single food, no matter what it is, every food has a point at which it really doesn't even taste that good anymore. And if for all of our bingers on this call, we all know, number one, when you are binging, it is very rare you are actually enjoying the experience. It is very rare you are actually enjoying the food you are eating. I think many of us might be like, oh yeah, I totally enjoy it. I would challenge you and probably say you probably enjoy the first 10 bites. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, and you really are enjoying it. And then all the noise and all the everything else comes in. And we have all taught ourselves to turn that brain off through food. Mm-hmm. And we don't enjoy the rest of that. But when you can allow and you can have those foods with permission and you can fully like actually enjoy and have the satisfaction and do it with purpose, that doesn't mean there's not still going to be a part of your brain that wants to cover up emotions with food. Because that's still going to, that part of your brain is still going to be there. And I think that's where this is not an easy, like, this is not just a flip the switch. This is not just just bring cookies in the house and have cookies every day and plan them every day and everything will be fine. Like, it's not just that either, right? There is the process of there's really two things going on here. Are you really allowing yourself to enjoy and have this experience with food? And what has been your experience over the years of how your brain makes that connection with emotions? And how do we like allow both of these things to kind of happen and separate while we still allow ourselves to really enjoy food sometimes? Because you guys, food is amazing, but food does not solve for feelings. So can we pull these two things apart and really enjoy some of these foods and also learn to take care of ourselves without, you know, and our emotions and our needs and do all of that without covering it up with food? And that is a process over time.
I'm thinking of a specific example of like trail mix, like, you know, that was kind of one of my binge foods is like trail mix with kind of the sesame sticks and the nuts and all of that together. And I just never forget you said, you know, some of the best work we can do is just have foods in the house, right? And to just learn to coexist with them. And as I've been thinking about this progress I've been making for a while there, for a couple of, you know, for years, I mean, I was really working on having trail mix in the house, and I would work on eating it very, you know, consciously and like, you know, really truly enjoying it and all of that. And then I'd get maybe through half the bag and I'd end up binging on about the rest of the half the bag. Right. But that is progress, because the first half the bag was me really, truly enjoying it and sitting down and, you know, and paying attention while I was eating it. And so that's the phase that I needed to go through to where now I've got trail mix sitting there in the cabinet now, and I have it every once in a while. And I truly enjoy it. And I mean, I'll never forget when I got to the end of the bag and I hadn't binged on any of it. But I had to go through all of that process to get to that point. And it's still, you know, there's still things I still binge on sometimes. It's like, you know, half the bag I don't and half the bag I do. And that is what practice and progress looks like sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So just a good Absolutely. Example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. All right. Anything else comes up for you?
I think, let's see, I talked about having food in the house. I just, you know, you were talking about the process of change, and I just want everybody to remember, you know, how Corinne talks about those phases of change and how the end phase is still, you are, you know, 80% consistently, you know, doing what you want to do, and 20%, you know, the other side, right? And so we're never talking about getting to 100%. And I think that's kind of the last thing is just like, I really have come to peace with, you know, I may binge every once in a while and that's okay. And I don't need it to go away 100%. And it's almost like when I think that, it's like when I'm just kind of loosen the reins a little bit and don't just hold on so tight, I find that I'm not doing it as often because I'm not thinking that I don't ever have to, you know, be perfect at it. And yeah. So that's just kind of the last thing I wanted to share with everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's interesting for me. I went back and I was looking. So I have a journal. I do not keep track of days and binge free days. And I honestly do not recommend that anybody do that. And I'll tell you why here in a minute. But I was going back, I have a journal and that I write in every night, 3 sentences a day. And if I do binge in a day, I write it down in there. So I was going back, like, when was the last time I binge? I really couldn't remember. And so I went back a few months and I had one binge in December, one day in December. And I think maybe one in November, something like that. But it was so interesting for me to like I had to go back, you know, I was like, I know it's been a while. But here's why I don't recommend that people count binge-free days, because of just what Betsy was just talking about, right? Like that perfectionism, like I don't have to be perfect at it or whatever. Because if you start counting binge-free days and you've been 45 days without a binge, even if you've been 2 days without a binge, and then you binge, if you make that mean, oh, well, now I have to start over. I have to start counting all over again. I lost my streak. I was doing so great. It is a setup for a perfectionistic thinker to think about how many days it's been since they've binged or not. Like that does not matter. That is not an indication of whether you are succeeding or not. I mean, 80-20, you guys, like it is not 100%, right? So now, do I believe that people can get to a place where they will never binge again? Absolutely. Do I believe that I will get to a place where at some point I probably will never binge again? Yeah, I think that's very possible for me. And if it doesn't happen, that's okay too. Like I'm not broken until that day. And I'm not, you know, I mean, if I binge tomorrow, then like I know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. And that to me is way more important than, you know, having some
streak.
Yes. That then I, you know, if I lose it, you know, then that ends up being something else. So,
and it's so normal. Like that is a new place for a lot of us to be, because we're just so used to like all or nothing, you know, just perfectionism in terms of like, but wait a minute, I can really live in this middle ground where yes, like I believe that there is a time where I won't ever binge again, but if I do, that's okay too. I mean, it just, that's a new place for a lot of people. And it just doesn't even like our brain just kind of doesn't even know how to make sense of that, but it is a real place that we can be. And it's a much more kind, compassionate, loving place to be. for sure.
So I want to talk a little bit, Betsy, while you're still on, I want to talk a little bit about bringing previously forbidden foods into the house and what that might look like, kind of what it looked like for me, what it looked like for you. I know we had a couple questions on that in the Facebook group. So I want to just address all of those real quick. And then we will jump in for, we'll have time for one or two coaching as well. But as far as when it's time, when you decide you are willing to be a scientist around bringing other foods into the house, my recommendation is to pick one thing. You know, I don't recommend that you make this experiment on like, okay, I'm going to go, I have 10 things I don't trust myself with, and I'm going to go buy all 10. I'm going to bring them into the house. Like that's not really be setting yourself up for success. So I think doing this kind of like over time and in phases, you might write down like, what are all the foods I don't even trust myself with in the house? And you could write them all down and then look at that list and say, okay, if I were to pick one of these foods on this list, what would I want to start with? Mm-hmm. And you can start with that food. And then what I would do is to kind of think about when you want to plan it. So one of the questions we had in the Facebook group is somebody was asking about bringing previously forbidden foods into the house. And she didn't say specifically what the food was, but she said that planning only one bowl a day feels restrictive. Now, we all know restrictive comes from what we're thinking, right? Restrictive is not an action. It comes from our thinking. But I want you guys to plan it in a way that when you look at it feels, doesn't feel restrictive, but doesn't feel excessive. Feels like safe in one way. I do want to use the word safe because many of us don't feel safe around these foods. And so there probably is some amount of, you know, you don't want to look at your plan and feel like, ooh, like that is, like, I feel like I'm still not really trusting myself, but you also don't want to plan. I mean, I would plan as much as you really think you want to eat, right? So let's say that, now if anybody hasn't done the plan binge, I definitely recommend you do the plan binge. This is different than, this is like reintroducing food you want to be eating on a regular basis. So, but look at it and plan for what feels like when you are in that place you would enjoy. And it might be like, you might still have the like, ooh, but I want to eat more, but you would also have that part of you that knows, you know, that's probably enough for, you know, after lunch. Right. So, I mean, I don't even want to tell you guys amounts because for each individual person, it's going to be really different, but I wouldn't say like, okay, you can only have one cookie, mm-hmm. right? You can only have one piece of chocolate. Like that's going to feel restrictive, particularly to the part of your brain that thinks you can't control it. And so you can plan for enough cookies that feels reasonable and plan them twice a day, plan them every day, twice a day, so that it's not, they start to become like, oh yeah, we're having those again. You know, like it just becomes more kind of familiar to your brain that these aren't going away anytime soon.
Yeah. That's really how I did it with the trail mix where I like, okay, I'm going to give myself a serving. Now I'm not saying we're measuring everything we eat, but I just decided, I said, okay, I'm going to give myself a serving of this trail mix with my sandwich or whatever I'm having. And then the way I did it, I said, and I can have another serving, like if I want one after I finish this. And what happened was when I was really sitting and enjoying that, I was like shocked, y'all. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want any more because I've like actually sat and like, I'm not shoving it in my mouth. I'm like really like sitting and enjoying it and enjoying the flavors and the taste and the saltiness and the crunchiness. And yeah. I mean, I was absolutely shocked, but I gave myself permission like, okay, we can have more if we want more, but we're just going to start with this and then see.
Yeah.
And so it's just that it's that comes that kind of conversation.
And for sure, the amount of, I just got distracted. For sure, I totally just lost what I was going to say. The chat. Yeah, I've lost it. I'm sure it'll come back.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Lisa is saying that, you know, I talked to her about planning 10 fig Newtons and it was like, you know, oh my gosh, I can't possibly plan 10 fig Newtons. And it's like, why not? Because it's that power of permission, right? Because, you know, when you give yourself permission, the conversation changes into like, okay, if it's okay for me to eat this, what do I really want right now? Like,
right.
Yeah, I might want all 10, but I might not. But it's not this like, I'm in trouble, I'm bad, I'm doing something wrong here. It's right. Just, what do I really want right now in this moment? And
right. And what I was going to say is that the important part of all of it is being with the food. So, you know, we're not telling Lisa to go eat 10 fig Newtons in front of the TV,
yes.
You know, while she's not paying attention to anything, right? It is really being with that food, really having that experience, tasting mm-hmm. it, you know, it is separating from the, you know, these are times I, you know, use food for emotions. And these are times that I like just really, truly want to have like a food experience. We're separating it out. Like, okay, when I have emotions and I want food, like we're going to look at that in our needs and everything else in a different way. And like, what else can I do to honor those needs with something other than food? Because food was never meant to solve emotions. And then over here, we're going to come over here and be like, all right, now let's talk about food. The amazing thing that food is, and what are ways that I can really actually increase my enjoyment of food and not have all of these foods that I'm so afraid of that I'm not really getting in my life otherwise. So then of course you're going to binge on them. Of course your brain's going to be like, I need that food because I don't get it otherwise. Right. So it's like we give ourselves that and we learn how to truly experience, enjoy it over here, which is kind of what we're talking about doing there. And then over here, there's still, you guys, my brain still, I don't have urges. Like as far as my process of change, I don't have that many urges to like full on just go eat anymore. And when I do, I mean, it's like the sirens are going off. There is something else going on. Mm-hmm. And so my brain still suggests it. But for me, it's just like, wow, there is that. Like my brain is like, I know what will feel better. Food will feel better. But I can see it now ahead of time. And I can also do what Betsy does, which is go to the future and be like, that is not going to feel better. Mm-hmm. Like it's just not. And so, and because I'm also doing all this other work with all of these other foods that I wasn't allowing myself before. And now I know I get to have those and enjoy those all the time. There's not this need of like, ooh, well, let's get that thing that we don't ever get. Like that kind of like urgency need isn't there. And so there still is this just like almost this pull that I get sometimes. It's just like, it's like the siren song, you know, but when I hear it now, because for me, it has unwound to a good degree when the song picks up, I see it for what it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. Thank you,
so Coach fun.
Betsy. Yes.
All right. Cheers. I'm going to get back in the chat.
Sounds good.
All right.
I will get you back to attendee. All right. If we have any questions, we will do some coaching. All right. Diana, we're bringing you on. While Diana is coming on, there was one more question in the Facebook group, and it was around the thought, as this kind of goes along with bringing foods into the house. There was somebody talking about how she has often has the thought of like, I need to just finish this to get it out of the house. And that is a very common thought, I think, that a lot of us have. And I just want you to just be aware of, like, it's kind of like Betsy was talking about in her process where she hears those thoughts, but she kind of sees like, yeah, that's not really like, that's just one of those thoughts your brain is probably going to offer up. Like, oh, well, we just got to finish the bag. Let's just get it out of the house, get it out of our system. It's kind of we all have kind of like the same thoughts that our brain will give us over and over again. And I think the more we can just start to identify what some of those thoughts are and realize that whole like finish the bag, finish it, get rid of it, is a very, very, very common thought for bingers. And it's one of those thoughts, if you can start to catch in the moment or even just hear it as it's happening, doesn't mean even to begin with, you even have to do anything with it, but just know it's like, that's one of those thoughts that you may get for a long time, but isn't, it's just one of those BS thoughts, you know, like it's not really, it's not true. Even though you are having it, it doesn't mean that it's one of those things to be like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. I'm going to do that. So, all right, Diana, I muted you. There we go. All right. Hi.
So I have two questions, really. So my binging is like almost daily right now. And I've kind of gotten to a good place where that after the fact and trying to like do a bunch of journaling and figuring it, because I know when it's over that there's something going on right now. And I'm trying to figure it out, because that, you know, that's not, for a couple of months, it's been moving up and that's not my normal. So I know there's something. So the two questions, one is, I'm not sure I understand the difference between fighting an urge and sitting with an urge, now that I'm kind of where I think I might be able to identify that as it's coming instead of the blackout thing. You saved my life when you described that at one point. When I first heard you talk, I'm like, oh my God, that's like, other people do that. That is a real thing. I didn't think anybody would ever believe me. It's like, we woke up from a trance and knew I had just done this crazy thing. So yes. Yeah, so now I'm where I can see it coming. So the fighting versus sitting with, I think maybe I don't understand that. And then the other thing would be, if I can identify what those you said something, or I think Coach Betsy, you need to feel a feeling. When I can identify that, what a big part often that is happening is just feeling overwhelmed with thoughts that are unkind for myself. You know, I failed at this. I'm overwhelmed with that. I'm never going to get that done. I'm a terrible mom because I'm going to miss this deadline. You know, all that stuff. And I know that binging is shutting that out for a while.
Yes.
I get that, but I'm not sure now what to do with those two things.
Okay. So I'm going to answer number two first a little bit, and then we'll go back to number one. You are going to love the new course. First of all, we really go into, we go into kind of both layers, because what you are describing is exactly what happens for so many bingers. It's, we have this layer, which is the urge, right? It's that desire to eat. We just want to eat. It's right there. You know, there's the first layer, which is responding to the urge, whether we allow it or fight it or whatever. And so we'll come back to that. Then let's say you allow the urge and you don't eat. Well, guess what's waiting for you? Layer number two, which is the overwhelm and the unkind thoughts, and you're a bad mom and you never get all this stuff done, and blah, 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 all of that other stuff is still there waiting for you. And so then it makes sense, right? Like, it's like, we have taught ourselves to binge to quiet this voice that is unkind, that is telling us all the terrible things. And for a while, it does work. I mean, it does in the moment quiet those voices. Now, when we come out of our trance, not only are those voices still there, a lot of times it's like, well, great, now look how terrible you are because you just did this thing again, and blah, blah, blah. Plus, you have the physical discomfort from the food. We're not really solving our problems. But that's what happens with a lot of bingers, is we have these two layers. So it's the first layer is this urge to eat, which it comes also because our brain wants to repeat anything, right? So if we've done it multiple times, our brain is going to just want to continue to do it. And then you've got all the other stuff that you're really probably trying to kind of escape from, like all of that unkind stuff. So we've got two things going on here. So as far as the unkind stuff and the thoughts of overwhelm and everything else. We're going to talk about in the new course, there are going to be some kind of skills and tools that we kind of talk about and teach. So that's coming in April. So know that's coming. But in the meantime, do you do any journaling around just kind of like your overwhelm thoughts? Or it sounds like at least you've got some familiarity and awareness of what that sounds like.
Yeah, I do. And that, you know, I haven't in probably the last couple of weeks, because, you know, it's the cycle. I was better. I stopped journaling, and then it got, the overwhelm really hit me. And then it was, you know, that whole, like, I'm binging, I'm shutting down. I look at my journal and I can't even like bring myself to do it. So I got back in at the last couple of days, and that's been helpful. And then you came on today. So I was really excited about that. Yeah. So the things they'll do from the journaling is helpful, but sometimes I feel like there's so much, you know, I could sit down and journal. And the one time you said, every time you get up off of the couch to go get something else is a new thought. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's true. Because that's where my 100 thoughts came in. I will spend 2 hours at 100 trips into the kitchen, because every time I sit down and I'm done, there's the new thought and you're going to go in. And so it all makes total sense. So yeah, the journaling I do, but it seems like there's a lot. I'm not sure how to unwind it.
Do you have a sense, before we even try to like unwind the overwhelm, do you have a sense, like if you could really think about in those moments where you are really overwhelmed and there's so much going on and you've got all the thoughts and, you know, it's coming in hot and heavy. If you were to ask yourself in that moment, what do you really need in that moment? What comes up for you?
I don't know. And I think that was sort of where one of those, like fighting the urge, that was one of the things I'm trying to figure out too. When Betsy said that, what do I really need? I think when she said I need to feel a feeling, and I thought maybe that's what it is. I need to like let that, instead of trying to push it down, somehow feel and go through what that is. But I don't know if that's true. You know, I guess, you know, then there's like the point where, what do you need to do? You need to get up and go do what you need to do. You need to get your list done. You need to make sure that you don't screw this up. You need to, you know, so then I start going there too. So I'm not sure what I need.
So the next time it happens, I would definitely ask yourself the question, just like, what do I think I need? Now, you might surprise yourself, right? You might even just think like, I just need to scream, right? Like, and that could be sometimes overwhelm is a very high energy emotion. It has a lot of energy within it. And so sometimes what happens is when we feel that much energy, it's like, we feel like we got to do something with it, or it's going to like, we just want to kind of come out of our skin. And sometimes it's like, we've taught ourselves over time that the eating kind of can put a tamp on that energy. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you just ask yourself, what do I need? You might surprise yourself. You might be like, I need to just go scream. I need a break. I just need 10 minutes of a break. I need somebody to help me with this project. Like you just ask yourself, if you just stopped to ask yourself in that moment, you might surprise yourself. And that right there is a beautiful habit to get into, is just asking the question. And nobody else can really know what you need, but you really do. And the new course is really going to help you be able to kind of get to know your needs a little bit better and really trust that you can kind of figure that out. I'm going to go back to the urge question. So when you are having an urge, tell me what the conversation generally sounds like in your head.
So that's a tricky one, because a lot of it, I feel like I'm only just starting to, it feels like my subconscious mind has put like a noise dampening wall between itself and my conscious mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know I can think all the right things I'm supposed to say to myself, and it's still like I'm on autopilot. So once I realized that was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So I know all the right things, and I'm consciously saying these things, and I'm consciously thinking these things, but for some reason it's not getting through. And that's a very weird thing to realize and recognize. It's very strange to feel those two different people, you know?
Yes. And I think, first of all, I want to go back to the beginning of the call, which is we were talking about the phases of change. You, my friend, are smack in the middle of a huge phase of change. Now, here's what some people will do. They will say, but I'm still binging. I'm like binging every day now. I'm feeling totally overwhelmed. So this is not progress. I am not changing. This is terrible, right? And then you just give up.
This is getting worse. I'm so aware of what's going on. And it's just getting worse. I'm just doing it more. I don't know what's wrong now.
Yes. Well, nothing is wrong. I will tell you, nothing is wrong. And for all of you, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. And I am sorry, but that's just, I mean, I lived it big time. You can all ask Corinne. Like, I mean, there is this period of time, and it's dissonance. It's called cognitive dissonance, because what's happening is you have the very practice part of your brain, which is your subconscious, that puts all of these things onto autopilot, and they're just going. And now you've got these new thoughts and you're practicing these new things, and they're like both living in your head, and you're like, I'm trying to do this new thing, but this like underlying operating system is still happening. And like, it just feels weird. And I'm still doing this thing that I don't want to do. So like, something's not working. Now, that doesn't mean we can't look and find some new places to kind of like pick, like to focus on. But I will tell you, you really are exactly where you're supposed to be. And this period of like, if you've gone from the place where you were like blackout, like zero awareness, to now where you're like, wow, I realize even every 200 times I get up and go to the kitchen, like I'm operating on autopilot, but you also at the same time, you realize that there really is other thinking going on. You're trying to try on new thoughts, even if they're not very loud yet or not very sticky yet. That is the process of change. So I'm really glad that you're bringing this up, because it's like, it just, we have these ideas that it's like all of a sudden, you know, you take a class on urges and then, you know, you're just gonna have a new thought and then it's great. And it's like, no, it's just not how it works. And
I know what to do now. Why is it not working? What am I doing wrong?
Exactly. And there really is, there's a tie. I mean, there is a tie within your body, the emotional signals, the physical signals with the food and the emotions that you're covering up and all of that. I mean, we've got a puzzle here, right? And it's like, we have to undo things before we kind of like, and lay new tracks at the same time. So you really are in the right place. So don't let your binging be a discouragement. I would highly encourage you every time, what was different? Where am I binging better? What was different? What am I noticing? Even just a little thing, like those are the little 1% that they don't feel like anything, but they're everything. So as far as an urge goes, tell me the things that you are, like you're saying, you know, the right things to say to yourself. Like, what are those right things that you're trying to practice?
So I was, let me think a minute, because I was doing the sitting with my urges, feeling what they feel, you know, doing the urge meditation. And then saying, this is just a physical feeling. Eating is not going to make it better. It will go away on its own. But it felt like I was fighting against getting up and answering that urge rather than. So it sounds to me and feels to me like fighting. And I've seen you say a couple times, don't fight an urge, sit with an urge. So I'm trying to understand maybe what the difference is. And maybe I'm not doing it right, or maybe I am and just not seeing it differently.
So if it feels like you're fighting, you probably are. And which I want to point out to you is very good body awareness for you. Like you can feel that tension in your body. Allowing an urge is going to be more, it's going to feel more open. Now, it's going to feel terrible, but it will have more of an open feel in your body. So it's like you are, you know, like, so you know you're having an urge. You know, we kind of like look at the now process, right? Like you notice you're having the urge, you kind of open up to it. I think what happens when we're fighting a lot of times, it's this like, either I don't want to have an urge, I can't eat, I'm not supposed to eat, don't go to the kitchen, don't get up again. And it feels very, it does feel kind of tight, kind of clenched in your body. Mm-hmm. When you're allowing an urge, to me, it's more, the language for me is more like, here it is. Like, of course I'm having an urge. I'm overwhelmed. Like all, it's like, oh yes, that makes sense. There's like a, there's compassion around it. So it's instead of hating it and wishing it was gone, finding it is when you hate it and you wish it was gone. Yeah. And you just, you know, like, this is the last thing I need right now is to be dealing with this when I got 50 other things on my plate, you know. The allowing it is like, oh yes, of course it's here. Because when I am stressed and overwhelmed and feeling all of these things, this is when my urges happen. Like, okay, this makes sense. And it's, and then it's that acknowledging and kind of accepting like, all right, this is going to be here and I'm going to let this be a part of my experience and bring it with me. So it's more a bringing it with me rather than a wishing it would get away from me. So it's kind of more like, come on in, you can be here. I'm going to like you. And you may feel like really angsty and buzzy and like, I really need to do something with you. But you can just be here. And I think when we can see it and when we can understand it and we can be like, oh, it makes sense. Of course I'm having an urge right now. It's 8 p.m. I always have urges at 8 p.m., you know, or what, you know, it's for me, Monday, it's Monday. Of course I'm having an urge, or have all of this other stuff going on. Of course I'm having an urge. At least then we can kind of understand it and accept it. Then while it's there, that's when then we can kind of get curious. If you allow it to be there and allow it to be part of your experience, then you can kind of get curious about, what does this even feel like? And for you, I think this is going to be the next step for you. What I would encourage for you is the next time you have an urge is to ask yourself, what does this feel like in my body? Like, what is the physical sensation in my body right now of this urge? Where do I feel it? Do I feel it? Do you know where you feel your urges in your body?
Nope, I don't. But, okay. But yeah, so that what you're saying, everything you're saying sounds like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, excited to try it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, you're going to get lots of chances. Yeah. Right? Yes. You have plenty of chances, but yeah. So start to ask yourself, what does an urge even feel like in my body? How do I even know? Like, where are the physical sensations? Where do I feel it? Do I, from the time I notice I have an urge and I decide, all right, urge, like, where's, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to like say, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to give myself 5 minutes with this urge. The next time I get an urge, I'm just going to get curious. And I'm going to get curious about, what does it feel like in my body? Where do I feel it? Where do I feel it in minute one? And like 5 minutes later, is it different? Has it moved? Has it changed in the way that it feels in my body? And I'm going to ask myself, what do I think I really need right now? If I didn't need food, like, what do I think I really need right now? And if you could do those couple of things, like, as you get your urges. Now, there will be times you will probably get an urge and like you will eat and then you'll be like, oh crap, I forgot. I was supposed to check in with my body. And you can just be like, oh, that's okay. I'll remember next time. The next time I have an urge, you were going to have plenty of opportunities to practice. So just check in with yourself. Where do I feel this in my body? Does it change over time? And what do I think I really need right now?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that feels right. Thank you.
Awesome. Great job. You are a great example of somebody who has made a whole lot of changes and you can kind of like look back and see what those changes are. And I think this is one thing I just really want to highlight for everybody is when you compare where you are now to where you want to be in the future, that's always going to be disappointing.
Yeah.
Because nobody is where we want to be in the future. None of us, right? Mm-hmm. We all are always having places where we want to improve and want to get to. But when you can look back and see, where have I come? Where was I before? And where am I now compared to where I was before? Celebrate that. Celebrate those changes. And those little types of changes over time are exactly where we're going to take you to that next place.
Yeah, this call was really good timing for me because I was starting to get real worried about that I was going backwards rather than where I needed to be with all of this and pointing out where I've come. Yeah, the amping up and binging had me completely freaked out, which of course makes it work.
Right. And it makes sense. And I think especially for bingers, anytime our binging amps up, it's all of us freak out, right? Like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? I'm losing my progress. I'm sliding backwards. I'm going back to my old patterns. I'm going to gain all this weight. Like every single one of us, like it's just like this, you know, because we have also placed so much importance on, you know, this terrible, like getting rid of this terrible thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, you really are. If our binging does increase, if there's a reason for it, we can kind of understand it. Then it's like, oh, that makes sense. You mean I'm actually in this place where I'm really am making change. You are totally in this cognitive dissonance place where it makes sense. And a lot of times it does amp up, but as you start to get more really curious about your urges, what they feel like, kind of opening up to that and asking the questions of what else you really need, that's going to be your next level work to kind of take you to that next place. So great job.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Send you back to attendee. All right. We have any other requests for coaching? Raise your hand if you would like to be coached. Otherwise, we can wrap up if we don't have anybody else. I'll give it just another minute. But you guys, this has been, oh, I'm going to look at the Q&A. I have not looked at the Q&A. Nope, no questions. If you have any questions, you can put them in the Q&A. If you want to be coached, you can raise your hand. Otherwise, we can just wrap up for the evening. All right. I just want to reemphasize what I just told to Diana and encourage you all to do the exercise that Betsy encouraged you to do, which is go back, look at how far you've come, look at where you are now compared to where you were in the past. What changes have you seen? Where is your progress? And celebrate that. I would love for you guys to post in the Binge Better Facebook group. If you are not already in that group, please join us over there. Post in that Facebook group where you have seen your progress and celebrate that. Celebrate how far you've come. Don't focus so much on where you want to go. Focus on how much progress that you have made. All right. You guys, amazing. Thank you so much. I will see you next month. Bye.